AT&T monitor.
W8RRM, KD8HNT. Nothing heard, KD8HNT clear. KD8HNT monitoring. KD8HNT monitoring.
Went up so early.
Is there someone out there? KD8HNT.
I just answered you. Why are you up so early, W8RRM?
I'm up this early every day, KD8HNT.
Well, what are you going to do now?
Drink coffee, play radio, look at the news, deer hunt, open my window.
With snow in the forecast for today until about an hour ago, now it's changed.
I didn't see any of that. When I checked the last night, it said sunny today, but partly cloudy. High of 55.
Around 9 o'clock last night before I laid down, it was calling for snow today and went away.
I got 48 degrees right now. Yeah, high of 55 and mostly sunny, it says, for today. And then 44 tomorrow, partly sunny. Sunday, 49, partly Sunday. Monday, there's a chance of rain, high of 50. Tuesday, mostly sunny. Chance of rain showers on Wednesday, high of 51, Thursday 48, Friday 51, Saturday 47 rain. You sure you weren't looking at Alaska's weather?
I was looking at ours. It changed around 1 o'clock in the morning.
Roger. KD8HNT.
Well, what are you going to do? Go out to the deer blind this morning? W8RRM.
I'm in my deer blind.
Well, the sun ain't going to be up for another hour or so.
I know. I'm in my house deer blind, looking out the window.
Okay, well, I'll suppose next you're going to send me a video of a moose gnawing on a corn cob or something, right?
Yeah, I'm not going out to the deer blind this morning. I'm eight from the house, right out to the window. I got the screen out of my bedroom window and the screen out of the dining room window.
Okay. Is this thing working halfway decent this morning?
Yeah, you're crackly, but so far so good.
Well, I screwed up my ICA. I downloaded the directions out of program it and reprogram the whole damn thing. Of course, it's got about 60 frequencies programmed in it. I had it programmed all the way to Seattle and Anchorage, Alaska.
Holy cow. The one you got in your house?
No, the one that's in the pickup truck. It was the one that was in your belt.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I talked to, was that yesterday? Day before, I talked to, oh my goodness, it was California, but it was San Diego.
On HF or 2 meter?
On HF, oh yeah, not 2 meter. you'd have to be on Echo Link or something real magical.
Years ago, I used to talk to a guy in Australia that was a truck driver on 2 meters, but used Echo Link.
Yep. That Echo Link's kind of, it's nice. Like this time of year when I'm not driving to work every day, I'll do Echo Link and talk to the guys there in West Branch. Like this morning, I'll probably get on there. They have a, well, it's, they call it a net every morning at 8 o'clock, but, you know, it's just a, we do a round table is basically what it is, and lab, and every morning and then every Friday night, every week, at 7, they have one at 7 in the morning, one at 7 at night, and then they have a Freedom Net at 8 o'clock. Monday is their normal net at 8, or 7 o'clock at night. Their normal net, and so I'll use Echo Link the lab with them down there.
This doggone cat of mine that I inherited, every time I get on the radio, she comes over here and wants treats, and then I give her 4 or 5, and then when she's done, she'll sit here and start bugging me again for them. If I'm at the radio, I'm supposed to be giving her treats.
Nothing worse than a pesky pussy.
The woman who used to live next to me, they put her in a home for people with dementia, and her daughter begged me to take these 2 cats. Well, the black one is the female, and it's a big cat. I already got her spoiled rotten, but the little gray one, she's hidden most of the time. I call it Gray Ghost.
That's cool. My mom, when she lived in her apartment, she used to get so huffy sometimes. Well, her apartment was like a, she lived in Frankfurt, and she had an apartment, it was 2-bedroom, and they didn't have a basement. Goodness, a basement for storage and that, but she put a bedroom down there, bed and stuff, when my brother from the UP would come in that, and they could stay down there too, so she had more rooms for people, and they're staying overnight or whatever if they come to visit, and anyhow, she had a front door and a back door. So it was more like a condo, even though it was considered an apartment. But she was able, they let her plant flowers and all that. And she had all these beautiful flowers and everything planted, nice bird feeder out. She was constantly fighting the squirrels and the rabbits from eating her stuff. But she had this cat. It was like the neighborhood cat because it was good and healthy. And it'd come around and same thing. She'd feed it a little bit here and there. And, you know, and she was not really much of an animal lover, my mom, really. But she got used to that cat coming. Well, all of a sudden it quit coming around. And she was wondering what happened to it. And I told her, I says, well, if you sat on her patio and you look across the parking lot, you know, there's more apartments, but behind them, it was a Chinese restaurant. And then I told her, I says, well, come here and look. I says, they got their back door open. I says, and they leave that door open for a reason. I says, they put a bait pile type thing, little food inside that door. I says, and when those cats come in there, they whap them over the head with a baseball bat, and that's what your kicking on a stick is.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I didn't want any, but they kept bugging me. And they told me they took the food and everything, the kitty litter and all of it, and I fell for it. I kind of got attached to this black one, that little gray one. I don't know. If I'd ever catch it, I'd probably take it to the dog pound.
Right. Yeah, the whole funny part about the story here, too, is I take her out to eat. We'd go to that Chinese restaurant, and it was a buffet, and we'd sit down there, you know, and pick out what we wanted to eat. And, my mother's hilarious. She's just looking at that supposed to be chicken on a stick. She looks at me. Now you mention it, that don't really look like chicken. She says, I'm never eating that again. Oh, my God, I laugh so hard.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out why you're getting that crackling from my radio, because I never had it until I started talking on it again, and that was after the storm. I'm really hoping in that repeater, to be honest with you. Because I'd hate to think about having a box just staying up and somewhere to get it looked at.
Well, I got, if I was a guessing man, one, I think the repeater's a little bit of it, because I heard the guys talking about saying that they've been working on that repeater ever since the ice storm to try to get the bugs out of it. They were having some issues. Two, you're a long ways away from that repeater. I mean, most people don't talk 50, 60 miles into a repeater. And you're not very high up. So it's possible you're just not getting into that repeater real well. You know, you're getting into it, but good enough that we can talk on it, but you just don't have a real strong signal on it.
Well, I don't know what's going on. I noticed the other day it was modulating 75 watts. Now it's only modulating 30, so I don't know. There could be something wrong in the radio, too. Of course, I do get lazy and get away from the microphone like I am now, and that changes back up on of it, Roger.
Yeah. I've heard other people on there that they sounded crackly too, so you're not the only one.
Yeah, all right. This thing's never been opened up. I probably sent it some. I've had it for almost 20 years and it's never been looked at.
Well, I can tell you one thing that I know too, is some of those older Kenwoods, like that 940 we were talking about, the 440, some of those older ones. I know there's circuit boards sometimes, whatever they were made out of, sometimes need to go in there and get cleaned because they get corroded where everything's, you know, soldered in. That was a real common thing because it was whatever metal or whatever those circuit boards are made out of. I know when I lived downstate, several guys that had different ones, the older Kenwoods, they had that issue. They have to go in there and whatever they did, cleaned them up. Sprayed them with tuner sprayer and went in there and brushed around in there or whatever they did to clean that circuit board up, and then they'd be fine for a long time. But that was some of those older ones.
Well, all I know is I never had a problem until after the storm, so I'm hoping that's what it is, you know. We get it programmed with that other repeater me in Massalona or wherever it was. We'll see what it does there before I make my mind up.
Yeah. Well, remember Joe, even he came in and talked to us that day, and he said that he had problems with it being crackly with him, too. So I honestly think it's something to do with the repeater. That's what I personally think.
You see, like right now when it IDs itself, it's crystal clear. 100% clear audio.
Yeah, that don't always mean nothing, no. There's a lot of repeaters I can hear crystal clear like that, but I don't get into them real well.
That set of rings that I ordered for my 93 fit. And I'm really burned up about that. I'll just keep them good on something else somewhere else. They're a good-looking set of rings, made from West Hunter, and they got three different sleeves you can put them from 1 inch all the way up to 34 millimeters. And they're that shiny, good-looking aircraft aluminum, and they look good sitting on top of that barrel. But I can't get them to go on a mount that's on top of the on rifle. So I think today, if I have time after I get up, if I get up before Jay's closed, I'm going to go over and see what they got.
Yeah, well, probably that scope mount is meant for how they call it. Not sure what the technical name is, but like for the ARs, they're different. The rail is. And that might be what that mount you have is meant for, is more of that. And you can get those mounts to put on the 22. That scope mount will go on. You can get the rail that and have that put on that 22 to make that work. I'm pretty sure of it. But I bet you that's what it is. I ran into the other way around the mount I bought for the AR, not thinking, and that was meant for a 22 rail and not the AR the way it slotted the rail on it. So that might be what you got going there.
Well, it don't have a rail on there. It's got one part of a rail, like where you put the rings on it, and that's it. It don't go all the way across. It's maybe an inch wide, or an inch long, you'd say, with the groove in the middle. And I couldn't believe it. I tried it tonight, and I was really disappointed, because that aircraft aluminum almost matches the barrel perfect.
Right. I know what I do. I just get some JB Weld and slap it on there.
I don't want a best-looking rifle I've ever owned. I really like that rifle. If I could afford it, I'd buy me one of those Rugers that shoots a .223 caliber. It looks like an old Mini Garand, but I can't afford it. They're over $1,000. I'd like to have one of them. I had one a long time ago, 30 caliber. It was a World War II 30 caliber carbine, and I love that thing.
You didn't like that JB Weld idea.
Well, I guess you could get some fishing wire and run it from the back of your radio over to the top of your garage.
That's too funny. I thought I'd get you going about that. My goodness, I chuckled my head off after I said it. KKHT.
W8RRM. Well, I sure am disappointed, Joe, that it ain't going to snow today now. Doggone it, I was counting on seeing it. I thought we'd really get snow before November here, but it ain't going to happen.
Oh, it don't break my heart at all. I don't want to see snow until Christmas. I'm not ready for that. Speaking of that, I got a... I don't know if it's next week that they're bringing that or the week after, but I got a load of propane they're bringing out to fill my tank down to like 20%. So they're going to come and fill her up for the winter, but that'll last me a whole year. I usually fill it up right around... between now and Thanksgiving, and that'll last me until next year. To about the same time. It's going to cost me 700 buckaronis.
I had 3 500-gallon tanks in a series at my farm, and I'd fill them up every June. I wasn't loyal to anybody. Whoever gave me the best price is where I got it.
Yeah, I don't go through that much propane where I need that. I'm just heating the house. But I fill that 500-gallon. Well, they don't fill it all the way to the top. They only fill it 85% because they got to have that. If they put any more in that, it's too much pressure. The fluctuation, you know. And but that'll last me, 12 months or more.
Yeah, that's true. It'll last, yeah. I could almost get 2 years out of my fill up, but I'd fill it up every June. Save me money.
Yep. And in a sense, technically, I could get away with a smaller tank. But they want me to have the big tank, because they won't come down my road in the middle of the winter to fill me. They can't get down here with their trucks. So that's why I got the 500-gallon tank, and I can fill it up, and then I don't have to worry about them coming down here. I know I'm good. And otherwise, they would have me with a 300-gallon tank. My father-in-law up the top of the hill, where he's on the main part of the road, he's just got a 300-gallon tank, and he has a, they come in, I don't know, once a month or every so often, and he's on a fill program. They just keep it full. Now they have these new gadgets, and I got one on mine. It's just like your consumers. They know all they can, all they do is sit there in the office, they can click on the computer, and it tells them what the percentage is in your tank. They don't even have to come out and look. And they put that on here last year, I think it was. Last year, about this time last year, matter of fact. That's pretty slick. I go out there and look, but it's a digital readout. But they can tell in the office, they just bring up my address and boom, and it tells them how much I have in my tank yet.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to do it. I owned all three of my tanks, and I always got an owner tank discount for own tanks all the time.
Right. Yeah, I don't mind. They don't charge me nothing to have that tank out here. It's their tank, and they don't charge me nothing for it. I buy fuel from them, and they're always reasonable. They're about the cheapest around out of Boynton City. They're Boynton Falls, actually. Boynton Falls, and they're good. They're good. I've had them ever since I moved up here. I haven't had no problems. But yeah, they won't do the auto fill once a month, you know, come in and top it off or whatever. They just won't come down my road. And, which is fine. I don't care. It's winter time. There's lots of people won't come down my road, which is fine. As it is, summertime and whatever, I don't get cars to come down my road anyways, unless it's the in-laws or one of the neighbors. Other than that, they know when it comes down. You get down to the bottom of the hill, and it's real sandy. It's like quicksand. If you don't have four-wheel drive, you're not going anywhere.
okay.
Yes. Everybody says, well, why don't you call the road commission and tell them to bring a road, you know, complain about it and see if they'll bring gravel out there and put it down there and that. And I said, you know, I don't want to be problems getting it out of here. My wife's going, and we all have four-wheel drive. All-wheel drive cars. I like it like that. Now, I don't have to worry about any Joe Blow drive by my house. I kind of like that, no traffic. And if I'm laying down to a camper, towing a trailer or something, I'm off the road. I drive.
You saw three cars. I saw Dustin
Lane because my nephew lives up. There's a farmer's lane that goes along. It goes right up to my father-in-law's, and that's good and solid ground. Nothing in the way, no trees or nothing. That's why we pull like a camper trailer, like when I have company in that, and they bring their trailers at. They come down that way, and it's solid ground, so they don't have to worry about it getting stuck or anything. Not to mention it's a real tight turn into my driveway if they got any kind of a lengthy trailer at all. And that's when I had the house built. You know, because it's a modular home, and they had to bring it down that way across the field. They couldn't get down my road to bring it.
Now, do you have a modular or a double wide?
I don't know. What's the difference? They both bring them in on a trailer. You know, they haul them in here. They're two sections. So, modular home is what it's considered.
Well, on a modular, they set the house up, they take the frame out from it and take it back. On a double wide, you keep the frame and the tires and the wheels and all of it. When you get a double wide, everything to get it there you own, the tongue and all of it.
Well, yeah, when they hauled it here, well, they took all the tires, axles, everything was gone. I don't have nothing like that under there. That when they dropped it off and they put the house together and that all went back with them.
Yeah, but did they take the steel frame that went from one end to the other also? Because if they left those under there, you got a double wide modular. I used to set both of them years ago. I had another
company. Yeah, there's no... Well, I think some of it's steel frame. It has to be. Down the road, they both have
good driveway,
steel frames.
Built driveways and...
But there's
good basements
no
and
crawl like
spaces
that.
And all that crap and set double wides and Boca. They're called a Boca modular.
Yeah, that's the only way they make them. A modular, double wide, they all have a metal frame underneath them. Both of them, that's just part of the house. They don't, either one has the same thing.
No, you're not understanding. On a double wide, when the owner gets it set, you keep everything. On a Boca modular, they take the frame and all of it right out from underneath the building. There is no steel left under there at all.
I beg the difference, because this is considered a modular home, and I have a metal frame under there that's actually part of the house. I looked at several homes before I decided this one, a modular and double wide, and they're all made the same way, the frame underneath them for them to haul them.
Well, unless it changed since 1999, you would be wrong, because I used to set them. I used to have to pull the frame, all the iron right out from under them when I set them on a basement or a crawl space or anything. But double wides, we left everything sitting on it.
Well, yeah, this sets on a foundation, my house does. I had to put the foundation in myself. They set it on the roll up over onto the foundation, and then they take the axles, the tongue off, everything, and then it slides over your, it goes onto your foundation.
Yes, Tom, on a double wide, that's how they do it. I used to have a bulldozer that I'd section on top of a basement. And on the modulars, usually they brought a crane out and lifted it off and on.
Yeah, sometimes it depends on what you're doing, because I got the paperwork, I'm looking at it right now, it says modular home.
I said they could have changed the way they did it. I was setting them in 1999, along with driving all the time. When I was home, that was my time gig, setting wides and up. Landscaping around the building, the back, put in the yards if they wanted, driveway, all of it.
Right. Yep. Yeah, because this is, it's like a stick-built house. But, you know, obviously they can build it in the factory. They all build all of them, but it's, I don't know, it's got 6-inch walls. It's like a stick-built house, all 2x4s, 69 center. The insulation in the ceiling, you know, I don't have cathedral ceilings, I have regular ceilings and all that. Now, all the insulation and everything is up to code what a stick-built house has to be. And the payload on the roof or snow, I had to go through all that and make a rigmarole to make sure that when I decided which one what house I wanted to go with, that it was regulations for here for the snow payload and you know the walls, how thick they were, the whole 9 yards.
Well, you can have them built any way you wanted. I had mine built with OSB all the way around, and they did 2x6 instead of 2x4, but I had a expensive double wide back in 99 that I bought for myself new. And I did it on purpose because I knew it was going to be built in the factory. And in all honesty, most of these guys that, unless you're buying a high-end $500,000 home, them lazy contractors that take a year to build one house, and if something goes wrong, you never get them to come repair it. Unfortunately, the one I got needed some warranty work, me a check for $25,000 to fix it because I was my own general contractor, and I think I fixed everything wrong for about $9,000. But that was back when the rules were different too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know all that is. Sure, from 1999 to when we had it done. I'm sure a lot of different things have changed. You know, we put this here in, 2018? Yeah, 2 years. 2018, I think it was. We've been here for 8 years, so we're going on 9 years, so it was right around 2018, I think it was.
Bro, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to make me some and then go to bed. Take care. Maybe I'll catch you tonight if I'm up, okay? KHNTW8RRM.
All right, Roger. Yep, we'll catch you a little later. Got about 20 minutes or so. I got to make sure the lights are dark in the house. Should start peaking daylight here pretty soon, right around 7. Might be peaking a little bit. I got just a night light on my desk right now, so get her nice and dark so the deer can't see me going by the windows. But we'll catch you later on. And I was going to tell you, talk to my nephew. I says, you know, since I'm kind of like your hunting guide, I set up all the deer blinds for you guys, all that. I says, I got a favor. My nephew says, what's that? I says, what do you think about you guys helping me stay in my power? I'll put you guys right here one day while you're up. And my nephew says, oh, yeah, we can do that. Yep, no problem. He says, just let us know one day around lunchtime or so when we're not on. He says, all right, it's not going to take long. I says, it's too heavy for me and just a couple people, me and the boy, just to do. I mean, you need more than two people to do it. And I says, and he says, all right. He says, we'll get it up for you. And I says, all right, cool. But, all right, we'll let you go. 73 Katie and H&P.
PPE Mobile.
And 2 PBS, East Central Florida.
Well, either you're coming in over the internet or we have a really good propagation day. I missed the first part of your call. I PBX. This is Kilo Bravo 8 Papa Echo. The name is Andy, and I'm just northbound over the Mackinac Bridge.
I enjoyed my trip over the Mackinac Bridge, and I believe it's Mackinac Island, or Mackinac Island, I don't remember which. I know there are two different names for two different things. The bridge is one, and the island is the other. But anyway, this is November 2, Papa Bravo Foxtrot, Dale in Palm Bay, Florida, and I'm coming in over an all-star node to the Mile, Michigan repeater.
Okay, very good, Dale, and obviously I'm driving, so I can't write down the call, so I'll probably forget that, but very good to talk to you. Yeah, if you don't live in the area, everything's confused with the two different spellings. Everything is spelled with the C, the bridge, the island, the county. The only exception is Mackinac City, which is with a W, but they're all Mackinac, so... Very glad that you had a good visit up here. The island is beautiful. It's been a few years now since I've been over there, but I really enjoy it. I'm just in the area here for work. I live about 2.5-3 hours west of the bridge in Marquette.
Well, I actually found out about this link last year when up there in northern Michigan you had a nasty storm which took out the power for about 5 days in Lewiston, Michigan, and I have a friend that lives in Lewiston that we use this the 700 repeater in Mayo to communicate back and forth so I could see if he was okay and needed anything, and he hit it with his HT and I hit it with the All-Star node, and it was gone for a while after the storm, and now I see it's back. But for some reason, Greg is unable to hit it with his HT now, so something has changed, and we just don't know what.
I'd be glad you were able to check in on him. That was a nasty storm. I wasn't in the area for that, but I work in radio, and so did multiple stories on the storm and the damage, and actually just did one last week on the ongoing efforts for federal aid. But yeah, I'm based out of Marquette, but we have several solar power and translators in the ECP and in Mackinac City, so that's what I'm over here for, just doing some fall maintenance. But yeah, that was a very nasty storm.
Yeah, so I heard Greg told me he was showering at the church in Lewiston and getting a lot of assistance from the church folks up there in Lewiston. Yeah, I've known Greg for about 2 years now, and we talk back and forth quite often.
Good, and just for the record, I'm... on a different link repeater, on the one that's actually on the Coast Guard cutter Mackinac here in Mackinac City. So, and I'm just going through the toll plaza and look to my left, and I see the state Christmas tree sitting on the sitting on a semi-trailer here, waiting to go southbound.
Well, I'll let you get back to your driving and your toll plaza, and you're breaking in and out, mostly the signal is pretty good. This is November 2, Papa Bravo Foxtrot, East Central Florida, and 73s. I'll talk to you soon. Safe driving.
Thank you, Dale. Very good to talk today. 73, and maybe we'll catch you on the system here again in the future. This is Kilo Bravo 8, Papa Echo Mobile.
KB8FK Mobile Monitoring.
KE9CNQ listening.
AB8HNT, you on here tonight, W8RRM.